Hi everybody, can you hear me okay? Thank you so much for the kind invitation to join with you this morning. It's really good to be with you and to be able to come and worship God in Llan Rhymney with you. I'm from Cardiff anyway, it might not sound like it, but it's good to be able to come and worship God in a different area of the city, isn't it? I wanted to share with you a little bit this morning about an organisation called Christian Aid, an organisation that I've been involved with for the past 4 or 5 years. And I'd love to be able to just share with you a little bit about my journey with Christian Aid, what Christian Aid does as an organisation, how I got involved with it in the first place. And I'd love to share with you 2 bits of scripture during my talk. My job with Christian Aid really basically is to work alongside churches across South East Wales, so churches across Cardiff, Newport, Monmouthshire, the Valleys, and to really explore with churches how can we best respond to issues of poverty and injustice that we see in the world today. How can I work with churches to equip us as individuals, followers of Jesus, to be able to respond in the face of, you know, such massive problems in the world today, isn't it? So I'd love to ask you a question before I start properly. And you don't have to answer, don't panic. You can just have a think about it. Are you a prisoner of hope? Would you think of yourself as being a prisoner of hope? Have a think about those words for a few seconds. But I wonder how you felt over the last few weeks when you might have switched on your TV to watch the evening news, or you've opened up a newspaper to see what's been going on in the world over the past few days. We've had a pretty tough few weeks or few months, haven't we, kind of world affairs-wise. Well, a few weeks ago, it seems like constantly we're hearing stories of hundreds of people fleeing unimaginable persecution and poverty in some of the world's poorest countries and losing their lives in the Mediterranean. Countries that, you know, are struggling with immense poverty, Syria, Ethiopia, Libya. Over a month ago, we saw the earthquake hitting communities in Nepal and India. Thousands of people were killed. Thousands of people lost their livelihoods, their homes, in just a few seconds. Now, they're still within their country struggling to survive at this moment. A few weekends ago, I received a message from some friends of mine in a country called Burundi, which I'd like to share with you a little bit about this morning. But I don't know whether any of you have been to Burundi or know what's going on there at the moment. But I received this urgent prayer request over Facebook from some of my friends from the church there. They said that rioting, political killing has broken out across their capital city in the run-up to their general election. Can you imagine? We've just had our general election. There's a lot of rubbish going on in the world today. And sometimes it's really difficult to know how best to be able to respond. How does God want us to respond? The systems of this world are so heavily weighted against the poor, aren't they? So I don't know about you, but I wonder how you feel when you're trying to respond to these kind of things. What are the kind of emotions you might feel? I quite often, the words that come to my mind are things like angry, trapped. I feel like I'm really privileged to have been, you know, to be that God has placed me in this country. But quite often it's just really difficult to feel like there's anything proper we could do in the face of these vast problems. So I'll ask you again, are you a prisoner of hope? Yeah. So these words, a journalist called David Frost, he was interviewing Archbishop Desmond Tutu a few years ago now, and he addressed him with these words: "I always think of you as being an optimist." And Desmond Tutu replied and said, "No, I'm not an optimist. I'm a prisoner of hope." So I've been thinking about these words over the past few weeks, this idea of optimism and being a prisoner to hope. And, you know, this word optimism, it's a bit of a flimsy word, isn't it? It's not a word that we should be building our resurrected lives in Christ upon. But thank God that our Christian hope is so different. It's rooted in this sure, the sure resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, well, through that, it brings just immense possibilities, doesn't it? And if our hope is rooted in this sure resurrection, it ignites in us this desire to see the world in a different way, doesn't it? It ignites in us a desire to see God's peace, his justice, his kingdom right here on this earth now. But what does that mean for us, really practically? Over the past few weeks, I've been spending a lot of time speaking at different churches during the month of May. And we have Christian Aid has a really important week where we ask churches to go out and share this important message of hope for the poor with their communities. I'd just like to read a passage from 1 John 5 that we were thinking about over those few weeks. If we believe that Jesus is truly Christ, we are God's children. Everyone who loves the Father will also love his children. If we love and obey God, we know that we will love his children. We show our love for God by obeying his commandments, and they are not hard to follow. Every child of God can defeat the world, and our faith is what gives us this victory. No one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, it'd be really easy for us to take those verses a bit out of context, wouldn't it? We can overcome poverty in the world today because we believe in Jesus. But actually, it's when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour that he equips us to be able to respond in his way and to deal with issues of poverty and injustice in the world today. So I've been a Christian since I was a teenager. I grew up in a church in North Cardiff, and I was baptised when I was about 16 years old. And I thought, oh, this is great. My job now is to go to school and to share God's resurrection and his power to save with my friends and my neighbours. Good? Yeah. Well, that's good, isn't it? But I left university a few years ago, and God just really challenged me about how I was actually living my life in this nation. He challenged me about whether that was actually enough. Is it enough to just tell your friends and your neighbours about me, about Jesus? And so until a few years ago, I really struggled to know how to be able to respond to these issues that I was seeing in the world around me today. So when I see a TV advert with, you know, children starving in a country across the world, to be honest, I just switch off because I didn't know, I didn't really feel there was anything that I could do to make a difference. And although I knew this, you know, this basic command to love my neighbour, I just felt powerless to be able to see that happen in reality. But a few years ago, I started volunteering with this organisation called Christian Aid, and God really challenged me about how I was living my life in this country here. As people privileged to have been born in this country, we're in the top like 1% of the world's wealthiest people within this nation today. And, God really spoke to me about, you know, was I actually displaying the Lord that I believed in if I wasn't taking things like poverty and my role in generating poverty and things like climate change, if I wasn't taking those seriously? A few years ago, I travelled to a country called Burundi, which I will share with you a little bit about this morning. The first thing that I was directed to read when I reached Burundi was a psalm, one of the first psalms, Psalm 2. And I went with a group of young volunteers to this country, Burundi. And we thought, yeah, we're going to go for a few months and we're going to make a massive difference to people's lives in this country. And one of the first things that God did was really challenge me about what actually my role was in going to visit this nation. So I read it out to you. Why do the nations plot, and why do their people make useless plans? The kings of the earth, they've all joined together to turn against the Lord and his chosen one. They say, let us cut the ropes and set ourselves free. In heaven, the Lord laughs as he sits on his throne, making fun of the nations. The Lord becomes furious and threatens them in his anger. His anger terrifies them as he says, I have put my king on Zion, my sacred mountain. We live in a world where, as people, we make plans that go against the Lord, and those plans, they cause terrible things to happen in the world today, poverty and injustice. But isn't it a great assurance to know that the Lord in heaven, he's in charge of even our plans, isn't he? It's good to have a God that is taking those things so seriously. This year is it's been a really significant year for Christian Aid as a charity. We've been looking at our 70th anniversary. So what might be significant about those 70 years? A bit of a test for you. What happened 70 years ago this year? Pardon? That's a few things. Well, it was the end of the Second World War in Europe. And this was so significant for the churches in the UK because at the end of the Second World War, even before the war had come to an end, the churches were uniting together to make plans about how they would respond to such devastation in Europe. So in 1942, the churches came together to form a really big council to see how they might be able to offer practical assistance to those who would be in need after the war had come to an end. And Christian Aid was born out of this really difficult time. So in 1945, the churches in the UK, they established a fund that would help people to respond to need across the world. The churches uniting around a vision of a world that would be free of war, where God's peace would reign. And on the first Sunday after the war ended, the churches came together and they raised £85,000 for the work of Christian Aid across the world. An amazing amount of money for those times, isn't it? And over that weekend, churches, they went out onto the streets to share this vision of a repaired Europe, and they raised £3 million in that one weekend for the work of helping people who were in desperate need. It's amazing what we can achieve when we commit the needs of the world to God. So as part of this year's celebrations, not celebrations, but remembrance of where Christian Aid has come from, created a series of films to remind us about this work. And I'm going to show one of these now, if it'll work. Technology is the key. The first one in the PowerPoint. That's not working. Okay, never mind. Yeah, play the other one. That'll work as well.
Albanians, Lithuanians, Yugoslavs, Russians.
No. Is the Nicaragua one working?
The work of partners in many countries. The visit center is
Thank you. Oh, that was Christian Aid's, some of his first work in Nicaragua in the 1980s. And some of the words in that film are just so strong, isn't it? The opposition to the plight of the poor was really strong in Nicaragua. But we don't live in a world like that anymore, do we? The world has changed since the 1980s. The world has changed since the 1980s, but the opposition to the plight of the poor is still so strong in this country and in many countries across the world. And the reason that we continue to work against it is what he said, isn't it? Because what is in here is true. So we're going to have to continue anyway. I'd like you to shut your eyes for a second and think of your house. Think of the place where you live and think about why you feel so safe there. Imagine you're walking up to your house, to your front door, and you're opening the door and you're walking into your home. What are the kinds of things that you see around you when you go in there? What are maybe the smells that you have in your house? Perhaps you have members of your family around you. Perhaps there's something cooking on the stove. Now go to the place in your house where you feel the most safe. Maybe it's your bedroom, maybe it's in the kitchen, maybe it's in front of the TV. But if you could have the next picture. I wonder, I'm not being so successful with my PowerPoint, sorry. Next one again. I wonder if that was the kind of place that you imagined. A few years ago, I took that picture in a country called Burundi. And Burundi, it's been in the news over the last few weeks because it's in the run-up to its general election. But this was somebody's house, and many others were living in similar houses. Now, Burundi is one of the poorest countries in the world today. About 90% of people living in Burundi, they rely on the land to give them what they need to survive. But the country has had so many problems over the last few years. In 2005, this country emerged from a 10-year civil war. It claimed the lives of about 300,000 people, displaced so many more. Today, it has been relatively stable, but now it's coming up to its general election and tensions have started to mount. And the country is becoming increasingly dangerous for people to be living there. Thousands of people have fled into neighbouring Rwanda, also a country with so many problems. But this was somebody's home, far away from the capital city in Burundi. I wanted to introduce you to the work of the Anglican Church in Burundi. If you can click a few slides. And again. One of the partners that Christian Aid works alongside in Burundi is the Anglican Church, and they're doing such amazing work in helping people to secure their livelihoods in this nation today. So about 10 to 15 years ago, the conflict in Burundi had just eroded everything. The land had been abandoned, and people were struggling to be able to understand how to survive. And one of the communities that really struggled was this one here, as a village. I won't try and pronounce that word. but this lady, her name is Sovis, and that was her house. It was perhaps from about me to the chair by here, a round circle. She built the house herself with her husband. It was made out of mud bricks, and you can just see the roof. It's just straw. So her family, she lived in this house with her husband and six children. And inside the house, she let me have a look inside, there was a wooden platform. And this is where the whole family would sleep. What happens when it rains? They just got soaked. And well, just common sense that they would get soaked. But what was just so remarkable about this community and what really spoke to me was that this community, you can't see from the picture, but this lady is very small. She belongs to a group of people called the Pygmy people or the Batwa people in Burundi. And because of their size, they've been marginalized within their nation, and they haven't been interacting with the church or the normal populations. So this community, they believed that their children were getting sick all the time because evil spirits were attacking their community. Now, we know that evil spirits were not attacking their community. It was simply because they were living in houses that weren't made properly to be able to look after their children. And so what an amazing thing for the church to be able to do, to come alongside these communities and to be able to challenge their beliefs in such practical ways. If you go to the next slide, this was just one picture of amazing transformation that the church was able to achieve there. The church, they were encouraging people within the community to save up, to be able to build bricks to make their houses. And once they'd managed to build the structure of their homes, then Christian Aid, with the help of the churches here in the UK, they're able to provide just solid roofs to go on these houses. And it's just made, just such a simple thing, has made such a massive difference to these communities' lives. The people within these communities, because they've got a safe place to live, they're able to be clean and dry, they're able to have a better livelihood, they're able to interact better within their communities, and they're able to spend time with the communities and their local church. And whereas this community, they used to move around the country all the time to flee away from the spirits that were attacking them, they no longer have to do that. The church secured a piece of land that they can stay on for the rest of their lives. And now, yeah, they understand, hopefully they'll have an understanding of the work of the church and yeah, the power of Jesus and not the holy and not these evil spirits, isn't it? But that is just, I guess, just one tiny example of just massive transformation that we're able to bring about because we unite as churches in the UK to be able to achieve this work. We know in the world today that there's so much more need, isn't there? Over the last year, Christian Aid has had one of the toughest years in our history. We've got more emergency appeals running than ever before at one time, responding to the aftermath of the typhoon in the Philippines, responding to what's happening in Syria, in Iraq, responding to Ebola in Sierra Leone, just so many things that need our attention and our prayers. But it's thanks to the church's support and partnering with us throughout the year that we're able to make sure that countries like Burundi won't be forgotten nations. It's really easy for us to fix our eyes on what's in the news at the moment, isn't it? But God demands that we remember the poor across the world, isn't it? So how are we going to respond to what we've heard this morning? We're witnesses to these stories now, aren't we? I hope you believe that these are real people and their lives are real and God's concern for them is also real. One of the most simple things that we can do is just to be sharing these stories of transformation with our friends and our neighbours, isn't it? And, you know, why we have this concern from what we've read today in the Bible. The words in 1 John 5 are just so helpful for us. And, you know, these words of overcoming the world. We overcome the world through our faith in Jesus and through that igniting in us this desire to see this transformed world today. And we also read in that bit of the Bible that God's commands are not burdensome for us. They should be easy for us to follow. And for me, somebody who struggled to be able to respond to these issues across the world today, having an organisation that unites the churches to respond to this work has been so helpful. There are three things that we ask the churches to be involved in this work. And I'd love to invite you to, as a church, to think and to pray about how you might be able to be involved in this work. These three things are to give, to act, and to pray. Three vital things that need to come together, aren't they? Raising money for this work is just so vital, and God promises to bless whatever we're able to give in his name and see massive impact across the world today. We also need to speak out about the structures that are keeping people poor in the world today, isn't it? Is it enough for us to just give of our money and to pray? We're living in one of the most influential countries in the world today, and we have MPs and assembly members, politicians and companies who can make a massive difference if they change their practices. Christian Aid equips the churches to be able to respond to these things. So this morning, if you're interested in voicing your concerns with your local politicians, I pray that you come and ask me how to be involved in that work towards the end. And then last but not least, it's prayer for our work. If you're not able to do anything else, please continue to remember this work in our prayer, in your prayers. Christian Aid's work, it lasts throughout the year, and it stretches to some of the most the darkest countries in the world today that needs God's peace and his attention. So to finish, Christian Aid, we have this massive vision, an end to poverty within our community, but it's a community that includes every single last person on the planet, isn't it? So as we go out into the week this week, let's not forget these stories that we've heard and what God's put in our hearts to be able to equip us to respond. And let's praise God that we can trust that he will multiply whatever we're able to bring before him. Hallelujah. That's good. Let me pray. Father God, thank you that your commands are not burdensome, because everyone born of you overcomes this world. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen.